This is Scott.
This is Pat.
Today's program is a unique one. We are going to try to take as many calls as possible. So, if you'd like to join Hanson McLean, now's your time. 1-888-2-HANSON to be part of the program. Call Hanson McLean. And in addition,
we're going to talk about artificial intelligence and is it actually going to change the way you invest in the future?
Yeah, there's the firm actually doing a little test on it right now. Plus, we're going to, of course, take your calls. We've got a great program lined up. So, again, 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. Stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
And now, Barron's ranked top 100 independent advisors. It's time for Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
We are glad that you are with us today. Both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. Whether you've got advisors you work with now, you do everything on your own, or whatever the case may be, we are considered an honor, really, to be your financial advisor on the air. And if you'd like to join us, have a question for us regarding anything in your financial life, and sometimes I think it's wise just to get a second opinion. I'm often amazed at the types of things people get themselves into without getting a second opinion.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, if
leases and contracts,
all kinds of big contracts, because they met some person who sounded good, and
yeah, timeshares.
Some things aren't life changing. Other things can be life changing.
Yes,
you get in the wrong kind of financial product. You get sold a 15-year annuity or whatever the thing
that you can't get out of. And
yep.
Yeah, what's the danger in getting?
I mean, whether it's from us or somebody else, frankly. Yeah. A second opinion before you...
Yeah, what's the danger in it? Well, the danger is that you're going to get sold something else.
That's right. The next person you talk to is an even better salesman.
Yeah. Which is actually... We'll talk about it a little later on the show about the fiduciaries, and it's coming June 9th. It's to a neighborhood near you. The new fiduciary role and how they've started to change some of the pricing to make it a little bit more transparent to you, the consumer, which I think is nothing but great.
That's right. Well...
And actually, I'm quite disappointed with some organizations that have come out against it.
Fiduciary is just a legal standard where you have to put your client's interest ahead of your own, and which Hanson McLean, as a registered investment advisory firm, we are a fiduciary firm. We've been this way for a number of years. And the Department of Labor is now having it such that people must act as fiduciary for retirement account balances, but not necessarily other accounts. So you can still get... taking advantage. Anyway, if you'd like to join the program today, 1-888-2-HANSON. It's always good to call earlier in the program as well. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And let's start with Gary. Gary, you're with Hanson McLean.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, glad you joined us here, Gary.
Yeah, I'm going to be turning 66 here in a week, and I'm self-employed, and I really don't want to retire, but I was thinking about taking my Social Security and just put it in as savings. And what I'm curious of, if I'm still going to be paying the self-employment tax on it.
Yep.
And I was curious if that's going to increase my what I receive from them.
Yes. So whatever payroll tax you can do or self-employment tax will impact and have an increase unless you're at the maximum already.
Yeah,
if you're at the maximum, then it's not going to make any difference.
So how much are you making right now, approximately, what you pay taxes on?
Around $50,000.
Okay, so you're probably not at the maximum. So whatever you contribute will probably help. Now, let me ask you this, Gary. What assuming you start taking Social Security today, what other assets do you have for retirement? So let's say that you're planning to continue to work, but let's say something happened and you were forced into retirement, an illness or something that you were weren't expecting. What other income would you have for retirement?
Basically, I got a small Roth IRA and savings.
And how much is that Roth IRA? When you say small, is it? Everything's relative. How small is small?
Right.
Wow. It used to be larger, but right now I think it's around $14,000.
Okay. Okay, and savings how much approximately?
Last time I checked, it's around $109,000.
And are you married?
No.
Okay.
I think, Gary, I think you'd be better off deferring your Social Security while you're still working.
Until age 70.
Yeah. Because you're going to have a nice bump every year you don't take it. You get a nice bump.
By approximately 8% plus whatever wage changes you have. So it could be 10% bump there. Yeah, I would absolutely. And that way it's going to, when you actually do leave the workforce, because it will happen at some point in time, unless you are fortunate enough or unfortunate enough to die with your feet up on the table, which I doubt that you would actually do. It's going to replace a larger portion of your income.
Well, that's one thing I was curious, because my mother's 94, my father's 99, and they're both an excellent health.
Wow. Even more reason to continue to work, and even more reason, even more reason to defer that Social Security. And if possible, if at all possible, you may want to actually try to put a little bit more money into that Roth. Than you are right now. And in fact, even if you needed to convert some of that money from savings over to a Roth, do you own a home?
Yeah.
And you owe money on the home?
I have no debt at all.
Perfect. So,
but I agree with Pat. If you can maximize, just take some money out of your savings and stuck it in that Roth every year, $6,500 you can put into that.
Yeah, you're going to get tax-deferred growth on it and tax-free withdrawals, and it won't change your standard of living at all. You're just going to save it at a different place.
I'm a little leery on the Roth, because when we had the big 2008 thing, there was like $35,000 in that.
Yeah, so a Roth is how you title in an account. It's not an investment itself. So let's say you just are really comfortable having money in savings. You want to keep it in the bank. You bank with Acme Bank, let's say. You could just go to Acme Bank and say, hey, I'd like to have a Roth IRA in the same kind of account here at Acme Bank. And they'll say, no problem, Gary. And they'll help set that up for you.
So it's okay. So it wasn't necessarily the Roth that caused the drop.
It was how it was invested.
It was how it was invested. Yeah, and quite frankly, it was if you had a drop from $35,000 to $14,000, it was way too aggressive for your risk tolerance to begin with. And my guess is once it dropped, you changed it, the allocation, so it was more in fixed income or a much safer investment. Is that correct?
I just quit putting in it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So it should have recovered had you left the investment alone, assuming that it was properly allocated, which is questionable.
Well, hey, Gary, wish you well and hope you have continued success with your business being self-employed.
And I hope for your sake that you aren't banking in Acme Bank, as Scott used as an example. The Roadrunner?
I was going to say XYZ Bank, but I thought I'd use Acme.
Acme.
So Social Security, who was I talking with? I was with a group of younger people. Where was I? And they none of them believe their Social Security is going to be there for them.
How young is young?
They were in their 30s.
Okay.
And I remember sitting there thinking, well, that's what we thought. Till closer I get.
I'm 54. I actually don't believe Social Security will necessarily be there for me.
For you.
For me.
For you.
Correct.
Because things have already started becoming needs-based with retirement benefits. When you look at Medicare Part B, for most Americans, is roughly $100 a month. Unless you have high income, then it could be $450 a month. Yeah. As your income starts getting higher and higher
your
in your retirement.
Your premium
goes
up based with your ability to pay.
That's exactly how it is.
If you were a great saver, for retirement, and now you are spending that money in retirement, you're going to pay more for the goods and services that are provided through the government than someone that wasn't a good saver, even if you earned exactly the same amount of money whole entire life. This is a moral dilemma. It truly is. Because it creates a change in someone's behavior because the government will fix it.
Okay, well, now you're going down a different path, though.
Okay.
So our point is with Social Security.
All right, let's get back to the original.
So if you're someone who that Social Security is going to, you're going to really need that check each month?
Then
it's going to make an impact on your retirement. It's going to help you with your lifestyle.
Defer it.
As long as you can. As long as you can. Because you're going to be the last one they're going to take it away from. On the other hand, you get into retirement, you got millions saved, you've got a pension, you got nice income, other investments income coming in. Our advice, if you're not...
At least I would go through the exercise that of
if you were six, if you turned normal retirement age today, Pat, today was your, you turned 66. Would you sign up for Social Security?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Assuming I wasn't working, I had no earned income.
No, you're 66. Oh,
if I'm 66, absolutely. Would take it a minute. I would not defer it until age 70. And why, Scott, would I do that? If I knew that the benefit was going to grow at 8% a year, why wouldn't
even
I just defer?
Even if you said my life expectancy is long, because your concern would be that down the road, they're going to start saying, does Mr. McLean need it? Isn't he that kind of big shot financial advisor? And what was
I don't think they're going to single me out individually, but they will look at my income or income with people similar to us. Let's say the top 10 to 15% of the Social Security receiving population.
Wouldn't that be? All right. So look at where right now Trump comes out and announces some sort of tax bill. Probably nothing's going to happen this year because he doesn't have a ton of political capital right now.
Right? All right.
So and the Republicans are all over the board. So it's probably not going to have a tax reform this year. But at some point in time, think about a tax package.
What's it going to say? Who do you tax, first of all?
Those that have the money.
Correct.
That's the only place you can get it.
Why do you tax people with those that have the money?
Because that's the only place where you can get.
Yes. Taxing people with no money.
It's not going to. There's no revenue.
There's no money. Yeah.
Right? So you're going to start taxing homeless people.
And it's politically unpalatable.
Yeah. So it'd be really simple to say, you know, if someone's retirement income is above, I don't know, you pick a number.
Yeah.
Right now, it's a roughly $180,000 for a married couple before they start paying more in Medicare Part B premiums, retirees. Those are on Medicare. So that was already a line that was drawn in the sand. And the higher their income goes, the more they pay of Part B and Medicare. So it'd be really simple, actually, to even use that same number, saying, you know, as your income exceeds that, we're going to... phase out. Right now, they phase out. And this isn't talked a lot about, but personal exemptions are phased out.
Yeah, for higher income earners.
So
the point being is if I'm on Social
itemized
Security,
deductions
phased out.
So someone has, let's say Bill Gates decided to have a mortgage on his house, which I highly doubt he has a mortgage on his house. He would not be able to take the deduction for his interest because his income was too high.
So
I'm assuming he has high income. He's worth $80 billion. So
okay,
my guess
well, I think that's
his income is.
So, they're going to change Social Security. That's why if you don't really need it, you might consider it. And if you think they're like, well, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Well, there's lots of reasons they would do it. Why? They passed this mental health care tax in the state of California a number of years ago where incomes over $1 million pay an extra 1% in tax, right?
Well, and they just
how did that happen?
They just also just, because the voters voted it in.
Yeah.
Well, Daryl Steinberg pushed it.
Yeah. How did it happen? They voted it in.
California also voted high income to retain the, if you remember, Brown, his first tax package was increased sales tax on everybody and income taxes on the wealthy. It was only a short term. And then when it was expiring, they decided, let's keep the taxes on the wealthy, but not on the rest of the folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point being is,
yes,
the thing about Social Security is if you don't need it, you might want to take
it. That's right. All right. Let's continue with calls here. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of Hanson McLean. 1-888-2-HANSON. Let's talk with Jason. Jason, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jason.
I love the show.
Thank you.
So
let me ask a quick question. You says you're from on our screen here that you're from Seattle.
Seattle. Yeah.
How do you find our program? You get a podcast?
Podcast. Yeah, this is you guys. All right.
Well, good. Thanks.
You guys should get on the radio up here, but yeah.
Well, call your station and say I want my Hanson McLean.
Just call any station. It doesn't matter.
I want my Hanson McLean.
Anyway, what's your question for us, Jason?
Yeah. So
you start giving us accolades, you'll never get to your question.
That's right. I don't get any at home, yeah. So it's kind of nice. Get everyone's.
Well, I'm hoping for early retirement in my 40s. And I've got a substantial amount of money in a Roth 401k.
Okay.
And so I'm going to convert that to a Roth IRA when I eventually quit my job. But wondering what the rules are for accessing the contributions. I know it's pretty straightforward for Roth IRA contributions, but accessing the Roth 401k contributions once it's converted, what the rules are.
It'll follow the same formula. So you can take out your contributions first because it's already been taxed without any tax penalties. The growth on that, you're subject to tax. And further, Jason, any of the match that your employer's put in is, I've never seen one where it hasn't been pre-tax. So the match is going in on a pre-tax basis. So your 401k probably still has some pre-tax money. Yeah.
But there's other ways to get at IRAs as well, because you can use a 72T distribution prior to age 59 and a half.
Start a series of equal payments designed to last your life expectancy.
And what do you do for a living? Do you work in a, you sound like you're surrounded by a bunch of kids. Do you work in a school?
A pharmacist. I'm at the zoo today. But
oh, you are?
Pharmacy.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, pharmacy.
Do you work for a nonprofit?
Yes, I do. Actually.
Okay, do you have a
403B.
Okay, there's where I was going there. So,
you have a Roth 403B?
So, my second job is has a Roth 401k.
Okay, so
my primary job is a pre-tax.
Okay, so but you know you could get at that 403B without penalty.
It's not a 457.
In my 40s?
No, you could borrow against it.
You can only
borrow against it. That's all.
Not a 457.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can borrow.
It was a 457, but different story.
Yeah.
Pat was got confused
there
for a moment. He got a little excited about it.
I was getting a little excited, but it's 403B.
So when I start making withdrawals from my Roth, once I convert the Roth 401k to a Roth IRA, and I start making withdrawals, is the IRS just going to ask me to prove, you know, how much I contributed to my Roth 401k? Or
how far away is this that you're going to retire?
Oh, probably 10 years.
Okay.
And how old will you be then?
43.
Okay, so here's what I would actually do if I was planning that far ahead, which it sounds like you are. I would actually take that 403B from the and I'd roll it into an IRA, and I'd probably start.
You can only do it if your employer allows it. A lot of employers will not allow it.
Once he retires,
yes.
Scott,
thank
once
you.
He retires, I would take that 403B and I'd probably convert it into an IRA. And then I'd probably do
a series of equal payments off that
on a 72T.
Uh-huh.
And then I would use the Roth dollar
to make
in
up
there
differential.
To make up the difference.
Will you, Jason, will you retire fully or will you work part-time?
Depends on how much I have. But yeah, probably most likely I'll work maybe half-time.
Yeah. My father was a pharmacist.
And he worked until?
Oh, okay.
He worked into his 70s relief or whatever. It wasn't ever hard for him to find someone who would hire him. That's for sure.
So the answer to your question is yes. You would convert the Roth 401k to the Roth IRA, and then the same rules would apply. But you're 10 years off, and the rules are going to change quite a bit probably between now and then. So just save as much as you can. I like the fact that you're doing it in both a pre-tax and in a Roth.
Yeah, and there are actually a few different ways you can access money today. So there probably will be in 10 years as well.
All righty.
Okay, cool. All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Enjoy your time at the zoo, and don't let your baby fall in with the animals there.
What? What? A Roomba. A Roomba? Harambe.
What's the Harambe?
It was that the gorilla that...
Exactly, see?
Yeah, Harambe.
I was just trying to protect Jason's family from...
I know my teenagers, peril. It was big in the household, the comments about Harambe.
Never came to our table.
I don't remember why. So
I didn't talk to my teenagers when they're teenagers, though. It helped.
Really?
Made my life more
right?
peaceful. No, I'm kidding. Right? They didn't talk to me. My son grunted.
We've been talking about this ongoing list that I've been giving the kids every week about the chores. Now that it's summer.
What?
Almost every day. Short list. Not long now. Like short list. Two or three things on it.
It'll be good.
Two or three things on it. The pushback is not...
One of your kids is going to UCLA.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get into anymore.
Yeah.
So what is GPA through high school? You were just telling me.
4.6. 4.7 all the way through high school.
I think...
That's crazy.
I don't think you need to worry about that one so much.
Listen, he might be smart, but...
Your car still needs waxing. I get it. Got to wax those cars.
Mr. Miyagi.
Wax on, wax off. I never did see that movie. Anyway, if you want to join Hanson McClain, 1-888-2-HANSON to join us. 1-888-2-HANSON. Let's talk with Marie. Marie, you're with Hanson McClain.
Hi.
Hi, Marie.
How are you today?
We're wonderful.
What can we do for you?
I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I actually accidentally found it last weekend, and I couldn't stop listening.
Oh, well, thank you.
So I wanted to call.
We've only been on the air 22 years, but glad you found us. Thank you, Marie.
I wanted to call and ask how do you know when it's the right time to sell your house, especially if you think that the market has potential to even increase the price of your house even more?
So here's the interesting thing. We had this conversation earlier today. We were talking about some real estate. Well, the challenge is,
where are you going to move and why are you selling?
Well, not only that, markets can move in directions that seem crazy for years. So if you think back in the 2000s when the real estate market was going through the roof, rents were not increasing. It kind of made no sense why we saw these real estate prices going up and up and up. Today's a little different because we're seeing rents have increased dramatically from the recession.
And we've seen some job growth.
But so whether or not the real estate market's going to flatten out for a couple years or continue to rise for the next 5 years or fall next year, it's so anyone's guess.
Let's ask a couple specific questions about you, Marie. Why would you consider selling your home? And if you did sell your home, where would you live?
That's the interesting part. I am considering selling my home because of the school districts.
Okay.
All right.
And it no longer serves my children.
Okay. And would you move into another home in close proximity to where you are living now?
No. Well, I don't know. No, probably not. I would probably be moving totally out of the area.
Out of the state?
But I would... Maybe.
Okay.
Well, maybe not out of the state, but in a different part of California.
Okay.
But I would probably rent until I would, found out which school district would be the best for my children.
Okay. So here lies the problem. If you're moving within the same
geographic
region, the homes have a tendency to go up and down.
In tandem.
So if you move from, you're in the Sacramento area, if you move from Sacramento to, let's say, Placerville, the homes are going to relatively move up and down in tandem. But if you move to a different, let's say, Fresno, you may not. The problem with selling and renting for a period of time is if the markets continue to move up and.
But I don't see any problem with renting for a short period of time.
To just try
so
it on? I'd be much more comfortable renting in this marketplace than I would let's say, 3 years
And the challenge
years
with
ago.
Renting, you might rent. So I've got a family member that's been renting for the last 4 or 5 years. It's like every year they have to move because the people they're renting the house from has other plans. So there's those issues as well. But your primary motivation here, Marie, is a very worthy goal. You want to get into a place that's the right place for your children.
And how old are your children?
Frankly, more important, the most important thing.
How old are your children? How old is your youngest?
My youngest, we have 6 more years in the school district.
Okay, that was what I was exactly I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
6 years in the school district.
I don't think
and
I'd rent for
the
6
renting,
years.
No. The renting for, in my, what I plan on doing, the renting would only be, it would be short term, less than a year.
What's the value of your home today?
What
would it sell for approximately?
The value of my home is about $400,000.
And what do you owe on it?
$200,000.
I think it's a great
rent.
Time to sell it.
I'd sell and rent. I'd be very comfortable.
Yep.
If you just take
the money out from the house. Those are sacred dollars. Those are home dollars.
Put it.
They're not
in
dollars for paying off a credit card. They're not dollars
account.
For buying a new car. They're not dollars for anything. Those are home dollars.
When that guy at the bank, when the teller at the bank says, go talk to the person in the corner, do not.
Keep it in a savings account or
in
money
fact,
market so it's totally liquid.
In fact, if you're comfortable, go to an online bank like Ally Bank or Synchrony Bank and open an account there. You're going to get
a little more interest.
0.8% interest.
A little higher than that now. They're a little over 1%. I was just noticing.
You know who has banks. One? One has a special right now of 1.15% has a special.
And you get an oven mitt if you open
so
toaster.
So I absolutely agree that it's a great time to buy, to sell and rent. And just as long as you don't.
Find the right market and then get back into the housing market.
Yeah.
Because the danger is you sell, you're out of the housing market, prices go up, they go up, and then one day you can't get back in, We've had clients have done that over the years.
So anyway, thank you for finding us on your dial, and good luck to you.
Good luck, and I think it's a wise choice, Marie. I think this is a
thank you so much
and admirable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your kids.
I know when I was a kid, I grew up in the Los Angeles area. My parents moved to Torrance when I was junior high. They said in large part for the school district, wasn't part of the LA.
Not everything works. I'm sure it worked for other kids.
Well, I'm still very frustrated with my parents. Very angry.
Obviously.
We're going to take a quick break. Again, to join Hanson McLean, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number here. 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you? If so, run it by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Yeah, and welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
And again, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join us. Love to hear from you. Do you have one of those Alexas, or there's a few different names for these little,
The things you sit in your room and you say, play.
Yeah. Play my friend's got it all set up.
Play the Bee Gees.
I don't have the confidence that I could. It's like my electronics at home. It's like sometimes I have a universe remote. When that's not working, I'm at a loss.
Read a book.
So I'm a little suspect of trying to sell.
So I do not have one of these at my house, but sometimes I use Google Voice to search for things. I don't type it in.
Well, I do that all the time.
Well, you're bragging. Sometimes I do it. Sometimes I just type it in.
So here's that's kind of artificial intelligence light, right?
Yes.
It's pretty. The question is, as artificial intelligence starts to grow, what kind of a positive impact might that have on people with their finances? So right now, UBS has rolled this out. I think it's probably just it says it's in the early days. So it's some select clients in Europe. So they have a virtual assistant, and it's a partnership they've got with Amazon, Alexa. And somebody can say, hey, Alexa, what do you think of the market right now? Or what do you think of this? And it'll answer, but it's all based upon UBS's chief economist's best guess, right? So
okay, so they've got one opinion.
It's their.
And could you ask it financial questions? Like, should I rent?
Well, that's not quite.
Should I lease a car or buy?
But the question is, will there be a time in the future where you'll trust a machine more than you would a human for your advice on financial matters or other matters for that much? So a lot of people have good financial advisors, and their financial advisor will help them with a number of things, like, well, some of the callers we've just had, right?
They're calling us and trusting us.
And it's usually a little more than just a black or white answer.
There's we ask questions.
Nuances around it.
And Alexa will ask questions.
So I would think there's going to be at some point in time when artificial intelligence is trusted so much that people would choose that over a human.
Some people.
Oh, you're probably right there.
I think a very small percentage of the population, right?
And a lot of a financial advisor's value, frankly, is helping people, keeping people from making mistakes that would change their financial future.
And a good financial advisor actually will ask a lot of questions before they give advice, because the advice is tailored to the individual. The advice is tailored. And having more access, like this would, like artificial intelligence, which would give you much easier access to
advice,
an answer, but it doesn't mean you'll use it.
Yeah, that's true.
And in fact, if it's coming from a person versus a machine, you're more likely to implement it, in my opinion.
All right, well, then.
There we go. Good job,
there
UBS.
We go. But even some of this artificial intelligence, I mean, it's...
Yes.
It'll certainly help service.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Anyway, if you want to join us to be part of Hanson McLean, got a question for us, something in your financial life, 1-888-2-HANSEN. And you'll notice we're taking quite a few calls today. 1-888, because we're in the mood for that. 1-888-2-HANSEN, 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's talk with Lewis. Lewis, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yes, thanks for joining us.
I'll just get right to it. I'm pretty blessed, a good background. I got retired early from the Army Airborne Infantry. I have my own small business. I'm happily married. I also work a 9-to-5 that goes part-time throughout the year, but it balances with my my pest control. I do snake removal, rattlesnake removal.
Oh, you do? By the way, Lewis, tell me the name of your... Yeah. You just give a plug. What's the name of your company?
Yeah, so my company is Rattlesnake Removal USA.
Okay.
We serve all of Northern California and Central California.
But you've got big plans because you called it USA. It didn't say Rattlesnake Removal Northern California.
Yeah, well, I have plans for expansion, but I just kind of wanted to have the domain name Rattlesnake Removal. That was already taken with the .com, so I just put the USA behind it.
Perfect. Hey, and
I've been thinking about doing it with Global. I'm going to add Global.
So this show runs in more than the Sacramento market. So we were in a multi-year drought, and the number of rattlesnakes have not been, and I'm not going to tell Lewis's job, but this year we had a huge rain. There is so many. There's so much food out there for the rattlesnake. You must be just.
I've got a dead one on the bottom of my garage door. It killed a baby one, and it kind of stuck to the.
So you must be extremely busy right now.
Yeah, we're slammed right now with snake removal. We're getting calls all up and down the coast and the valley. Yeah. Residential and industrial.
Yeah.
We're servicing companies like PG&E, Union Pacific, HOAs, wineries.
Really? Good for you.
Slammed now.
So good for you.
So what's your question?
What's your question for us? But good for you. Good for you, Lewis.
So my question is, since I'm in such a blessed position, I like to use that word, in my life right now, happy, safe, healthy, I'm looking to invest in something, and I'm balancing precious metals with land, and I just am having a really hard time which one I want to go for.
Okay.
I want to see what you say about, I know they're both good investments, and they're both eventually going to end up in my portfolio, but what are the benefits of one versus the other?
Are you saying raw land?
Yeah, raw land. If I can get it on the grid, but I'm interested in both, off or on.
And do you own a home now, a primary residence, which you and your wife live in?
Yeah, so the VA loan got a very, very good rate.
Do you own any traditional type investments like mutual funds or any stocks of companies?
I used to have it in a safe mutual fund, but I pulled it all out in about 2010, and I haven't looked back.
So the interesting thing, you.
I don't have any debt. If that's it, it's just a minivan for debt.
Okay, I mean, first of all, your best investment is going to be in your own business.
That's correct. So if you said I have $10,000 to invest, I have $10,000 to invest right now, I would say try to figure out how to grow your business with that $10,000. Better than raw land, better than any commodity, but will be in your own business.
Yes, totally.
And that is true of almost everyone, assuming they actually understand and know their business.
And their business is profitable.
Let me ask you about the question about diversification. I always hear about that, and I want to keep my portfolio diversified. How do I balance the need to diversify versus the importance of investing in my company?
So that's a great question. You can do both, but your primary goal should be your business.
How old are you, Lewis?
35.
Okay, so diversification is a tool to minimize risk, period. It's not to enhance wealth. If Bill Gates decided to diversify every time Microsoft got more than 10% of his portfolio, he would still be a poor man.
Well, not poor.
All right. Well, relatively.
I'd still be really rich. But the point being is the thing that you actually gave us, Lewis, is I would not buy.
So you went from, like right now, you've got this business. There's tons of investments out there where you could either invest in other people's businesses that have customers, paying customers and have revenues and profits, or you can invest in real estate that had revenue on it, that had renters. Instead, you pick two investments that the only way you're going to make money is if there's someone in the future willing to pay more than what you're willing to pay, because neither one of them produce anything. Precious metals produce nothing, and raw land produces nothing.
So the answer to your question is, I don't think you should buy either. I think what you should do is actually contribute to a Roth IRA, and I would buy the...
With 35?
Yeah, I would buy the total market.
I'd do that before investing.
Buy the total market in a Roth IRA.
I know a lot of people have lost a lot of money in precious metals. I don't know many people who've made a lot of money in precious metals.
Yeah, and land is a different... But if you want to buy land because you want to move off the grid, right? That's what you said. You called it on the grid or off the grid. If you want to buy land...
For yourself, that's a different story.
That's a different story. That's not an investment because you're going to consume that. So if you want to go up in the middle of, Idaho wherever, and buy a place back in the woods because you're wanting to move there at some point in time, that is not an investment. You're going to consume that.
Which is might be the right thing to do for you. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'd certainly do that before I bought precious metals.
Well, I'm the kind of person that always tries to make what I have work for me. So if I did buy land, I would try to produce on it and produce some sort of something on it. As well as my metal, I do have a little metal hoard. I'm a wannabe Viking myself. So I don't know what that means.
Either, but
yeah. Well, so, I'm really just drawn towards, trying to make something grow, whatever else I do. So
I understand that.
I like that you're giving me the advice to invest in my business.
You already have a business, right? So you've got a business and you know what you're doing. I imagine it's profitable. You probably pay attention to those things. We're assuming it's profitable. I'd figure out a way to grow that business.
Yeah.
And I know it's seasonal. I would imagine it's seasonable.
Yeah.
In January, you're probably not getting a lot of calls for.
And then the second thing I would do is I'd take and I'd make an investment, a Roth IRA, and buy the total market, which is a well-diversified portfolio. And that's the only two things I would do. I don't understand the precious metals. I don't understand the desire. Remember, every investment that you make, that investment doesn't know you own it, right? So what you're trying to do is grow it in the most reasonable fashion. If you buy the total market, don't look at the price of it every day. Don't look at the price of it every day. All righty. So appreciate the call.
Yeah, good luck, Lewis. It sounds like you got a lot of good things going
careful.
On. And
be careful up
and
there.
All that, so. Yeah. I had a neighbor. Thanks for calling Hanson McLean, too, Lewis. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. 1-888-2-HANSON. I had a neighbor that they just moved away in the last year, but they've lived there until their son was 8. So they were there 8 years roughly with down the street, and they had a boy, and the dad and the son. So the son was born and became around 8. The dad and the son would go out at dusk. They had a little golf cart, and they'd drive around the neighborhood looking for snakes because the snakes would come out, I guess, when the sun goes down and go onto the pavement where it's warm.
Yes.
And they'd go rattlesnake hunting.
And would they catch it?
No, they'd kill them.
Well, that's not...
That's not what?
I don't think that rattlesnakes deserve to die.
Whatever. I mean,
I guess the rattlesnakes were there in that neighborhood a lot longer than your friend was.
I don't think so. I don't know how long the typical rattlesnake lives.
I mean, their family, the history of the rattlesnake.
Oh, the history. I think they're, yes.
Anyway, we have had to call the fire department to get rattlesnakes removed from our house. We did not kill them, although I don't know what the fire department does with them.
So when my son was little, he was a fireman for a day. He had a chance to a little school auction thing, and I guess I donated enough to something. So my son got to be a fireman one afternoon. And we at the fire department, of course, the first thing we did is went, literally, they took us grocery shopping to figure out what we're having for dinner. Anyway, that's literally the first
you
thing.
You were a fireman for the day, too?
It was my son and three of his buddies.
Are you sure?
I've always wanted to go down one of those poles.
Okay.
Slide right down.
Okay.
Had the hat on. No. So, but they talked about, they would get often calls for rattlesnake removals. And one of the fire women... She was probably, 25, slender, small woman. And she would talk about all the calls she would go out on rattlesnakes from guys like you, these men, grown men, and they'd call her, and here's this young woman coming taking care of the rattlesnakes.
I wouldn't have a problem in the world with that. I mean, I believe, listen, that wouldn't bother me at all.
Okay.
You could come dressed as a bikini model and take it out of my house, and I wouldn't be embarrassed by it even a little. I would thank you gladly.
Okay. Well, no, we're not going down that path. So, anyway, it is rattlesnake season. So
it is.
Anyway, we're going to turn now, and I appreciate the callers. By the way, if you have not, didn't have a chance to get your call answered, call and give us a call anyway, because someone will give us a call, and we will schedule some future time. So 1-888-2-HANSEN.
And you can go to our Facebook page, and you can send in a message through the Facebook page.
We get some that
as
way.
Well. We get some that way. And you can subscribe to our podcast, too, by That's going right. to our website at HansenMcLean.com.
But now we are going to switch gears here and talk real advice. Our real advice segment of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We do this every couple of weeks where we talk to one of our financial advisors at the firm who shares an experience they've had with an individual or a family. And it's usually something that's going on, and they typically it's something a little out of the ordinary or complex situation, and they talk about how they handle it. And again, keep in mind that this is not meant to be an endorsement of Hanson McLean, and every situation is unique, and you may have a different experience with Hanson McLean. I would say that you'll have a great experience with Hanson McLean Advisor.
But there are no guarantees.
Many different meeting locations throughout Northern California, the Bay Area, and Denver. And our great certified financial planner team. But our legal team likes us to give us a disclaimer like that. Anyway, today we've got on the program Steve Burnett. And Steve is a certified financial planner, a chartered certified fund specialist. And he's been with Hanson McLean for 21 years. And Steve, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Thank you, gentlemen. I just wanted to let you know that the average lifespan of a rattlesnake is 20 to 30 years in captivity. It's less in the wild, though, due to predators, disease, or death by evidently golf carts.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
How did you know this?
Well, there's this place that you can go.
Did you look it up while you were on hold here?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right, I've worked with Steve for 21 years.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if Steve told a story about capturing rattlesnakes.
I used to catch rattlesnakes and gopher snakes on the American River and sell them to the ice cream man.
What would the ice cream man do with them?
As a kid, I have no idea.
Those guys are always weird, though.
Come on, why would you say that about ice cream men?
You got to watch out for the ice cream men.
Okay.
Always. Are you kidding me?
Scott.
Ice cream truck comes by, your kids run a little run out by the ice. Would you not keep an eye on the ice cream truck, man? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, Steve.
Back to the case.
Yes.
All right, tell us about the situation.
So this actually goes back quite a ways. I was working with this couple. One was about 3 years away from retirement, the wife about 5. And really, they were coming in looking for what a lot of people look for. They wanted to understand the level of risk they were taking in their investments. They had a whole bunch of different mutual funds with different names, but didn't really understand what they owned. They really weren't sure about how much money they needed to retire, and they were dealing with taking care of their aging parents, and both of their parents had sufficient funds, but they really didn't understand how their money should be invested relative to the pre-retirees' money and tie those two together, because again, they knew their parents were going to be needing some additional care down the road for their health conditions.
Got it.
Yeah. And how old were this couple?
When I first met them, in their mid-50s.
Yeah. It's often a time when people get serious about their
when the kids are close to graduating from high school or college. People will say, you know, I've been saving, because that's what I knew I was supposed to do. But then,
and you've got the big burden of taking care of the kids,
and then
finally,
in their 50s, you start saying, okay, my time is not that far off.
That's right.
I've got to really actually start counting everything in the nest and seeing if the nest is big enough.
Yeah, and this was really around that time frame of the later part of the 90s where the craze was all towards growth stocks. And the herd mentality was if you didn't own a whole bunch of technology, you were missing the boat. And literally, and they picked funds the way a lot of people pick funds. They went and saw which one had the most stars next to them, and every single fund he held had 5 stars. And every single fund he held had the same investments in it.
Yeah,
were all large tech-weighted companies, even though there were 15, 17 different positions.
So as that was often the case in the late 90s. So what did you end up doing with them? Did you rebalance the portfolio? Did you put them through a risk test or what?
We went through a software at the time that actually tears mutual funds open so I could demonstrate that although he has these different funds, he really has no diversification. And I told him, in order for us to do our job, I literally have to rebalance everything. And he didn't even flinch. He executed, we implemented, we did risk tolerances, we reviewed their expenses and did the whole retirement planning through what has now become our 7 personal decision points process. And we then separated his assets from their parents' assets and built more conservative strategies around those assets.
When did you first meet with these clients?
Boy, 1998.
Okay, so this is something you've been working with them for a long time.
They've been almost 20 years.
He retired in 2001.
Right before the right in the middle of the downturn.
Right in the middle. And there's not and we meet annually and we met annually before they became clients and sometimes more frequently. But there's not a time that we don't get together where he says, I can't imagine what would have happened to my portfolio if we didn't rebalance it with how the NASDAQ blew up.
Which was hard to do back then, because much as it is now, where U.S. stocks have done phenomenal and a globally diversified portfolio.
And there's certain companies that have been really leading the market. You look at Amazon, Facebook,
the FANGs,
right? Google, right.
And Netflix. They call them the FANGs.
And if you look right now, it's the same thing though. If you went and looked at what are the top performing mutual funds, it's going to be the ones that were overweighted in those particular companies.
Absolutely,
it's the same exact thing that you helped navigate these clients through late '90s, like through the downturn of the .com boom, and obviously through the financial recession.
Absolutely, great recession. And not only have they enjoyed retirement, they've thrived in retirement. Their parents, unfortunately, had since passed, but they didn't run out of the money they needed to care for them. And we continue to monitor their accounts as their lives change. You know, a lot of times we do these what-if models and model out for 5 or 10 years of what we'd like to see what happened with some assumptions. But the bottom line is you really have to go through and see what life throws at you and adjust the plan accordingly as things change.
Hey, Steve, do you find that people are putting more risk in their portfolios today because it's been a long, long time since we've had a major correction in the equity stock market?
I was going to say that just before you did. When you have a prolonged period of markets not correcting, not going backwards to any sustained levels or a significant pullback, you do have people coming in wanting to take on more risk. And that's when you get these unjustified movements in the market with the news behind it that doesn't really support it. And it's tough. That's part of our job, is to keep the portfolio within the risk tolerance, within the objectives of the clients, which means periodic rebalancing, because the longer you go without rebalancing, the more risk you naturally build in your portfolio.
Yeah, because you have your positions continue to grow and grow and grow, and the portfolio becomes either underweighted or overweighted in a particular sector, which is why you constantly want to rebalance a portfolio. You need to measure that.
And I think it's human nature that when you look at your portfolio, and you mentioned a globally diversified portfolio, and you always want more of the one that's doing the best.
Yeah.
Why aren't we buying more of the one that's doing the best? And it's like, that's the one that we're going to take profits off of and rebalance.
Which is hard to do.
It's very hard.
It takes discipline. Yeah. It takes discipline.
Yep. So. Well, hey, Steve, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being a Hanson McLean 21 years.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's been a great run.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Every day. Appreciate him being here.
Hanson McLean, one of our most senior advisors with Hanson McLean. Yep. And it's interesting. So, Pat, I've been roughly 25 years. We've been roughly 25 years financial advisors. A little more than that, I guess. I've never, and I can say this emphatically, I've never had a client say, Scott, what's up with this one particular holding? It went up too fast.
One time.
Why?
It happened to me one time.
But what will happen, someone comes in, they've got a dozen holdings, and they say, you know, why do you have this here? This was down last quarter. What? Aren't you paying attention? I actually remember I had a client in the 1990s that it was right in the beginning of 2000. 1999, the S&P was up, I believe it was 19.7%, about 20%. Great year. this guy highly diversified. He had roughly 60% in stocks. He had the remainder in fixed income bonds and some real estate. And he was up, I think, 24% in 1999. And he came in, he was upset. And he pointed to his real estate position. Remember the time of this? This was 1999. Remember when the real estate market took off?
Yeah.
Right? Top of the tech market, but still kind of the bottom of the real estate market. And he said, obviously, you're not paying attention to my portfolio. You wouldn't have had real estate.
But the real estate was probably a relatively small percentage.
Yeah, it was 5 or 10% of his portfolio. But it didn't matter. That's how people view things. And I remember he said, you guys don't know what you're doing. And he left. And I remember, there's a certain people that you kind of think about because you know exactly what happened. He went into, got overweight in tech and he probably derailed his retirement.
Yeah.
Forgot about the
risk.
Yes, the risk. People.
The risk never goes away. Risk never goes away.
You can reduce risk.
Yeah, but just because there's a period of time that the markets don't adjust downward doesn't mean that the risk becomes less.
But the risk does not appear on your screen every day when you're looking at your account or on your statement that you're reading on a quarterly basis.
I was reading...
You can't really look. It doesn't...
I was reading some financials and two hedge fund managers, both respected hedge fund managers. One said, never a better time to buy equities. Never a better time. And the other one, you know what he said was...
I saw it. It was on the same day. It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was the same exact day, both of my top of my feeds, and it was...
Keep your powder dry, why you should sell equities and stay in cash.
Yeah, one was like, it's total doom and gloom. The other one was all bullish on the future.
And I thought, these are both well-respected.
I know.
I was wondering, are they really changing their portfolios that much, or are they just trying to draw attention to themselves? That's what I thought, because I'm a little bit of a cynic.
And trying to gather a few more assets for their hedge fund to manage, so they can generate a little more fees. Yeah.
Anyway.
We're glad you've been with Hanson McLean during this last hour as we've talked about financial matters and had some calls, and I think we've had actually kind of a good time. If you'd like to learn more about Hanson McLean and how they may benefit you, how we may benefit you, visit us our website, hansonmclean.com, and you can learn a little more about our services and how we've helped thousands of families like yourself. And, of course, if you don't receive our weekly email, sign up for it at our website, hansonmclean.com. And you can get this podcast as well at hansonmclean.com. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. It's been great being with you, and we'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.